Hi, this is Scott Stanley, exploring the deep things of God, hopefully declaring the deep things of God. Today I would like to sum up some of the things we've been looking at. Because, you know, understanding Revelation, you need to understand the symbols, but you need to be able to read between the lines. Realizing the apostasy that has happened, and how the book of Revelation is explaining how we came out of apostasy. Well, this study today, or this discussion, keys on that. If I could reiterate what I have touched on before, looking at the seals in Revelation chapter 6, the four horses, what you're seeing is the progression of a person. And I believe it's all of us. We all go through this. But you give your heart to God and you're on this white horse. And the horse turns red, then black, then pale. Fifth seal, you cry out for God to help you. And in the sixth seal, he changes your sun and moon and the stars fall. The way, in other words, you're looking at the Son of God and the Bible needs to change, because the sun is black as sackcloth of hair and the moon is red as blood. In other words, you're putting your own meanings to it. So all of the stars, all of the truths that you think are true have to fall to the earth. And he closes the heavens. Then you see the process of someone ascending, going up from the earth, away from the east, which is self, up from the literal self interpretation, away from the east, away from self. And the result of that sealing that takes place is the 144,000. The 144,000 are truths. And the truth of the matter is, that is a symbolic number. Why symbolic? Because it is telling you these are the truths that heal. And they come from all the tribes of the house of Israel. These are the truths that bring healing. Well, how many truths does God actually have? Is it 144,000? Literally? No. It's a multitude. It's immeasurable. The thoughts of God are infinite. But to refer to his thoughts, his truth, as the 144,000, is simply telling you, this will heal you. So you go through those horses, cry for help. He steps in and begins to help change the way you think. And then taking that new understanding, you're able to seal the truth and put the character of God, the name of God, in the forehead. Why forehead? Because he's personifying truth. And you're putting the stamp of God on the 144,000, saying, this is of God. Well, question. What were they before they were healed? What were the 144,000? What were those truths before they were corrected in your thinking? Because they're there in your thinking. You're just not thinking right. You might be thinking Trinity, and God will redeem that from that earthly thinking so that you'll know there's one God and one Lord. There's all kinds of things we have thought about the cross and salvation. And, you know, the list goes on and on. Well, when he fixes it, it becomes a truth that can bring healing, or the 144,000. Before he fixes it, you see the white horse, the red horse, the white becomes red. A sword, the great sword is given to it, and that horse becomes red. And itself. And then that horse becomes black. And what are you doing? Well, you are determining what verses are more important than the other verses, the black horse. You're weighing, you got a scale in your hand. And then it turns pale. So those thoughts that you're carrying during that time, leading up to Revelation chapter 7, where those things can be fixed, those are the thoughts that need to be redeemed. Now, how does the Lord convey that to us? Well, each horse has a rider. And the one riding that horse is you. Where does this come from? You have 24 elders. 6 is the number of man. There are 4 men, 4 elders. 24 elders, 6 is the number of man, so there are 4 people. Each one is on a horse. Each one represents you before the Lord was able to help you see truth and change the way you think. You cry out for help, he moves in and says, okay, you're not looking at the Son of God accurately. You're not reading the Bible accurately. So those elders, 24 elders or 6 elders, elder is just another word for old man. It is your old man before you came to the knowledge of the truth. What are the living creatures? The living creatures represent the understanding of each of the elders. When you look at Revelation 6:1, when the Lamb, and notice it's the Lamb standing, he has been slain. He's opening your book to help you see where you came from. When the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard it as a noise, a voice of rebuke. And one of the 4 beasts, or 4 living creatures, saying, come and see. Well, that is the first living creature. Because on each horse, on each seal, you'll see the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. How does he describe these living creatures? Well, in chapter 4, verse 7, the first beast, or the first living creature, that Strong's number is 2226. The first was like a lion, the second a calf, the third had the face of a man, and the fourth that of a flying eagle. So, if I were to come back and say, okay, this is the way you were thinking before you cried out for help, and he is able to help you seal the truth. All of these truths, these 4 living creatures and the elders, have to be redeemed. They have to be redeemed from iniquity. They represent your iniquity. If you'll look at Revelation chapter 5, I want to start reading at verse 8. When he had taken the book, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of saints. That fact that they have a harp Remember, in Revelation 14, the harpers are harping, and they sing a song that no one can learn but the 144,000 truths which were redeemed from the earth. The harpers were redeemed from humanity. They sung, verse 9, Revelation 5, 9, they sung a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book. That book is the book of you. It's yourself. You can take the book and open the seals of it, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us, the four living creatures and the 24 elders. You've redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And you have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. And remember Revelation 1:6, how Christ is making us kings and priests. That's significant here. Because, again, what are the four faces? What are the four parts of these living creatures? A lion, a calf, a man, and a flying eagle. Unsanctified before they are redeemed. These thoughts, this understanding, remember it's all earthly because you haven't been given the truth. You're in the apostasy. And you need to come out of the apostasy. So you begin on the white horse going forth conquering and to conquer. That living creature, that understanding you're carrying is that of a lion, which is pride. The second living creature is of an oxen. Remember, the horse turns red, and red is self or iniquity. This oxen or calf is a servant animal. And you're serving iniquity. You're a servant to sin because no one has told you the truth of the cross. The next is the face of a man, but he's weighing the verses, claiming one is more important than the other. He's a Pharisee. Not redeemed yet. The last one, the flying eagle. I think of a flying eagle as a, the bird feeds on flesh. And it too represents self. It is an animal of prey. It will prey and eat the flesh. What happens when these things are redeemed? Well, go back to the white horse. The white horse, going forth conquering and to conquer, being lion or pride, once that lion is redeemed, it becomes a king. And the second living creature, the oxen or the calf, once it is redeemed, it becomes a priest. It's a servant animal. Instead of serving iniquity, it becomes a servant of God once it's redeemed. Remember, it's the 144,000 truths that redeem these things in our lives. Next, the face of a man. Well, at first you're a Pharisee. You're weighing the verses. But he redeems you and you become a son of man. And a son of man is seen in Daniel 7:13 is receiving the kingdom of God. Next, the eagle, a flying eagle. And this horse is pale, it is godless, but redeemed, that eagle becomes divine nature. And isn't that exactly what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, that we partake of these promises and receive divine nature, being able to receive the truth from God and apply it to self, to our own hearts, to be redeemed from all iniquity. Our salvation begins in the apostasy. But if you carry on, if you hold on to know the truth, if you remain faithful, He will redeem us from this iniquity and bring us to the place where we can work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. What does that even mean? In the last podcast, I can't express it strongly enough that to receive the truth is only part of the story. We need to receive the truth and be redeemed from doctrinal iniquity, which is what you're seeing in Revelation 7. Doctrinal iniquity. But taking the truth of God, we need to allow God to give us His knowledge of ourselves. We need His knowledge of why we tick, why we do what we do. We want Him to tell us why we are the way we are, so that we can seek Him for answers of understanding that and overcoming it. Jesus said to the Jews who believed on Him, "Now if you'll continue in My word, then you'll be My disciples. And you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And when you go read that, He's talking about the sin. The definite article is before the word sin. It's talking about iniquity. If you'll continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed. And you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free from all iniquity. We can't stop just because we understand the Godhead, or we understand, you know, heaven and earth and sea. See, all of those things are redeemed so we can use them to be free of the blemishes, of the pain, of the darkness. Everything that Christ portrayed on that cross is a symbol of a problem that we're carrying in our own heart. And we need to be able to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, it begins with learning the truth, but we apply that truth and go through the process of redemption of our hearts, redeeming our soul, and being made in the image of Jesus Christ. So I have gone through these things today pretty fast. I want you to see the big picture before we go in and start filling in the holes, before we go in and start coloring it all in and explaining what each thing actually means and what it all represents. If we can get a hold on the big picture of what has happened and what is going to happen. Now, I would like to welcome you to invite you to go to the website dtgrev.net and go to the answer page. In fact, write me a question send me questions. Go to the answer page and read what other people have asked after listening to these studies. And contact me. If you want to contact me, feel free to do that. And you can share with me where you think I'm wrong, or you can ask me to give you a better definition of what it is I'm trying to say. I believe with all my heart we're at the end of the world. And especially after looking at 1 John 2:18 and so on about the Antichrist and realizing this is what has happened throughout all of history. Christ was not proclaimed. The Trinity was proclaimed. The cross was not explained as redeeming you from iniquity. The cross was explained as paying your sin debt. So I look at all the confusion that is out there, and I pray that those who have ears to hear would find this message, because this message has begun. The gospel, the true gospel, has begun, and it's going to go to all the world for a witness, and then the end will come. And there are a lot of things to be understood. There are a lot of things that we can explain. There are a lot of ways that we can help you. But on your part, it's going to take an open heart and courage. And you know what else? A love for the truth. You need to love the truth and humble yourself so that you can walk with God. Humble yourself to receive God's understanding and to allow Him, His truth, to come into your inner man and change you and make you whole. And then share your truth with God's church. I pray that these studies are a blessing to you and that Christ is glorified in your life. And I'll be back next week with another edition to this podcast. Heavenly Father, we worship You. You are Yah, the only true and living God. And we worship You and pray to be in Your perfect will and to bring others into the truth. And we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.